This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air, Linda Cohen along with you. Well, there's a new breed of nurses today who are also doctors. That's right, PhD doctors in nursing. And they're shaping the direction of the future of nursing. We have one such doctor of nursing joining us right now. She's Joyce Griffin Sobel, the new dean of the College of Nursing at Upstate Medical University. And she's here to share her vision of just where nursing is heading. Welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So you're the new dean of the College of Nursing for Upstate. How long have you been here?
I started April 1st, which I hope is not an omen. And I'm having a great time learning to use a car all the time, which is very different from when you live in New York City. But I love it. The people are terrific, and we're having a great time.
Yeah, I think it's a big change, isn't it?
It is a big change.
Urban
it's
environment.
Much calmer, and which I appreciate. And when I go back to the city to shop and all the other things that I do down there, now it's kind of a shock when I see how crowded it was, things I didn't even notice when I lived and worked there all the time.
It's interesting. I'm a New York City girl, too. I was born and raised there and went to college and graduate school in New York City. I've lived here almost 30 years. So when I go to the city, I'm in shock,
yes.
Actually, because I'm so much more on this pace.
Yes.
And I find the traffic and the noise and all of the hubbub very kind of jazzing up. So let's hope you'll continue to enjoy being here this way.
I would like to see more taxi cabs up here, however, so you can just flag one every now and again.
I think that's unlikely, unfortunately. I understand that you have more than 30 years of experience in academic nursing.
Yes.
Tell us what you've been doing. What did you do right before you came here?
Before I came here, I was at Hunter College in New York City, and which I had graduated from many years before from my master's degree, and I was running their undergraduate program for about a decade.
Their nursing undergraduate program.
Undergraduate nursing, yes. And so it was a very large program, highly competitive to get into the program.
How many students?
1,000 total, graduate and undergraduate. And so that took quite a bit of coordination to get them all going in the same direction.
I would imagine.
But it was a very, very enjoyable place to work.
Did you always know when you were in nursing, you said you went on to a master's and obviously went on to a doctorate after that. Did you always know that you wanted to do more of kind of the administrative type of thing or the shaping academics as opposed to the actual clinical aspects of nursing?
I knew I wanted to teach from probably the beginning of my master's degree, and I was encouraged very strongly by the faculty there and some of the colleagues that I work with at Memorial Sloan Kettering, which was where I was working in those days, to go on and get a doctorate, because if you're going to teach, you really do need a doctorate. So, yes, it's been an early ambition and one that I love, and it's given me tremendous versatility and flexibility throughout my career.
So what were the kinds of things you did, let's say, at Hunter? How did you shape the direction of the educational process for nurses?
Well, one of the things I did down there, which I want to recreate here, is to create seamless pathways for nurses with associate degrees to finish their baccalaureate degrees, which is very necessary now. A nurse needs a baccalaureate in order to really be able to provide better evidence-based practice. And CUNY, the City University of New York, a very big and large system, just like SUNY, we had trouble with the graduates from our own community colleges getting their credits accepted in the senior colleges within the same system. Kind of crazy. And it goes on here, too, at SUNY. So we created a dual admission process for those students. So they were equally admitted at the same time to Hunter for their senior degree as well as their associate's degree. So it really increased the amount of nurses who went right on and finished their baccalaureate.
So you really solved a big, what sounds like more of a red tape problem and
yes.
Real limitation for those kids.
Yes.
You removed that blockade.
We did, yes. And now it's spread CUNY-wide. So it really is helping a lot of nurses. And it's made a major dent in making sure that nurses have their baccalaureate degree. Because the profession has identified by 2020 that we would like 80% of all nurses to have their baccalaureate.
So then basically when you see an RN, you're basically looking at people who have 4 years of undergraduate training.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
And how do you think that impacts on the life of a nurse these days? What, as you said, evidence-based practice, how does it inform their everyday work?
The baccalaureate-prepared nurse is much better prepared to handle working in a very complex healthcare environment, and patients expect their nurses to be well prepared and able to filter through all of the data that's coming at patients from numerous sources, and give that patient direct advice about what's the best thing for that patient's healthcare. And so a baccalaureate prepared nurse really is much better prepared for that.
And they actually act as the liaison in many cases.
Oh, yes.
From whatever other physicians and other healthcare deliverers there are.
A major part of the RN's role is coordinating care from multiple sources.
Almost like an ombudsman in a sense for them. I mean, not exactly that.
A little bit. Our healthcare system is very complicated, mm-hmm. and professionals have a hard time navigating it, never mind people that are not used to the healthcare system. So they need somebody to help guide them.
And it seems like you were very much also involved in introducing technology or somehow integrating technology into the curriculum. Is that a particular interest of yours?
Yes,
as well?
I love technology. I have to have every device known to mankind. And it just makes life so much easier for a faculty person and for the student in order to keep track of what's going on currently in the profession. We can't expect a nurse to practice in an evidence-based manner if they have to go find some book on the unit to look something up. They need to be able to access a database in their pocket. And the smartphone is the most essential tool for a nurse and for a consumer to have to manage their health and to get the information they need when they need it.
So they could look something up like an PDR or those, I forget what some of the other applications are, but some, they could look up a fact very quickly in terms of drug interaction or other things.
On a smartphone, yes.
Right
instead of
there.
Trying to find a PDR, which is never where you think it's going to be on the unit. So it makes it much more easy to do.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here along with Joyce Griffin Sobel. She's the new dean of the College of Nursing at Upstate Medical University. And we're talking about nursing today and the future of nursing. So before you were at Hunter, I noticed a very interesting thing. You were in the U.S. Naval Reserve. Tell us about that.
I was, yes. I was in the reserves for about 7 or 8 years, and then I went active duty. I had been teaching at the University of Illinois in Chicago, and I got a call from the Navy would I want to go on active duty, and my first response was absolutely not. But they wanted somebody to come in and start a nursing research program for the Navy Nurse Corps, and they didn't want to wait to grow one of their own nurses to wait for them to get a Ph.D. So I wound up going and had some of the greatest experiences of my life. We got a lot of great research going in the Nurse Corps, and I was the first of a position that now continues, and there's one now at each of the regional medical centers.
So where were you stationed?
I was in Virginia Beach, Portsmouth Naval Hospital.
Not too bad a place.
It was lovely. I had a great time. It really was. I would recommend the military.
Yeah.
Well, the traveling. We did a lot of traveling to meet up with nurses who were stationed all over the world with the kind of research that they wanted to do. The nurses on the ships, for instance, were very concerned about noise and the damage that noise can create. And that actually had been a part of my own doctoral work. So we got some interesting studies done about that. They were also very interested in how body fat standards were identified, because when somebody is over fat in the Navy, is what it's called, it restricts them from being promoted or traveling. And
really?
It turned out that the standards to create those criteria for what's considered over fat were really based on men and white men. And so it did not accommodate the diversity that people of different ethnicities and genders have normally in their body. So we were able to make an impact on that too.
Wow. Very important thing. So obviously you have your doctorate, and obviously mm-hmm. it's helped you in your teaching career, but how else do you think it's shaped your view of nursing, or what do you think some of your goals or desires to see, you know, in terms of where nursing is headed for the future?
Getting my doctorate was the most liberating experience I've ever had, because it gives you the flexibility to do absolutely anything that you want in the healthcare field. And every single thing that you can even imagine trying to help patients is affected by getting a PhD. You have the preparation to do clinical studies. You have the preparation to gather data and to filter through evidence and decide what's right for a particular kind of patient. And, of course, it really does prepare you well for a career in academia, which I've always loved. So it was the best experience I ever had.
Do you see more and more nurses going in that route?
I hope so. The growth of doctoral programs in this country has exploded, particularly with the clinical doctorate, which we are starting in the fall for
at
students.
Upstate Medical
at Upstate, yes. And a DNP, a Doctor of Nursing Practice, is a clinical doctorate, and it is the highest preparation for an advanced practice nurse. So those programs are growing very rapidly across the country. And the PhDs in nursing are still very much needed because we absolutely need to have data. We need to generate research questions and answers to the clinical problems that we see every day.
You know, there's so much information that's constant. I mean, the medical technology, medical science is growing at an exponential rate in terms of all the breakthroughs, new things. And obviously, nursing is a key part of that.
Yes.
Nurses play a key role at whatever level they are.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, higher education of whatever sort seems to be crucial.
Oh, yes.
In their training.
Oh, yes. The days of nurses just getting basic clinical skills in their education are really over. You need those college credits. It really forms you as a person and helps you take much better care of patients.
Do you think that with the aging population as it's growing, that there'll be more of a demand for nurses to have more autonomy? You know, I mean, before and traditionally, nurses function as a part of a team and usually under the aegis of a physician, for example. But that's been changing as well.
Yes.
With nurse practitioners,
yes,
for example.
Yes, and we work together. And one of my goals here at Upstate is to really create excellent interprofessional education experiences for each of our students. And no one is superior to anyone else on a team. We all work together. The patient is the head of that team. And we need to educate our students of all disciplines how to work together, how to communicate with one another while they're in school. The first experience that you have with other disciplines is oftentimes in your first job.
Absolutely.
And you don't even know what other people do.
Do you think the inclusion of men in nursing has changed it?
A little. I don't really think so, no. I don't really think so. No.
You don't think it's made a huge difference? But there obviously,
no,
there are growing numbers of men,
well,
doing,
yes,
nursing.
We want nurses of all stripes, and so it's good to have that diversity.
I also understand that you received numerous awards for both teaching and research, including the 2012 Excellence Award in Academic Mentoring from the International Nursing Association for Clinical Simulation, and you were named a Fellow of the Academy of Nursing Education in 2008. But I understand there's a new award coming. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. I'm being inducted as a fellow into the American Academy of Nursing in October.
And I understand that's one of the most prestigious awards someone can have.
Yes, it is. It's quite an honor. I'm absolutely beside myself with joy.
Really? How many people generally are
this
inducted?
Year there are 70 from across the country.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, that's quite an honor. It sounds like you really have a tremendous amount to offer us at Upstate. We at Upstate and this whole entire community, and I can only say that I hope you will continue to enjoy your experience. Thus far, it's been a positive one.
Yes, I love it. It really is. The people are just so nice, and I love the school and the students, so it's been great.
Yeah, well, it's wonderful having you, and I want to thank you so very much for coming in and sharing your wonderful background with us and all of your wonderful images and views and hopes for the future here. My guest has been Joyce Griffin Sobel, the new dean of the College of Nursing at Upstate Medical University. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.